Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Still recovering from the presence of God. Every time when God moves like that, you just stun for a moment. And no words can describe the presence of God. No preaching can replace the presence of God. No teaching can take the place of God's living presence in our midst. But we praise God that we have been touching on praise and worship for three services now. And we're going to continue looking at praise and worship because it's the highest offering that we can give to God. In our first message, we talk about the call to worship, and we emphasize how the call to praise and worship God is higher than any call. It's higher than the call to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or intercessor. The call to worship is a call that has sounded even from the day God created the earth. God created this earth to worship Him. And then, in our second message, we understand that praise and worship is not so much for God as it is for us. And in the second message, we emphasize how praise and worship is a covering to protect us from the greatness of God's presence. And He requires praise and worship because it's like a cloud of incense that protects us from the awesomeness and the power of His presence. And the greater praise and worship is, the greater the covering, the greater God's presence can dwell in our midst. And we explain that that is the reason why the Bible says God dwelleth in the praises of His people. And we have also explained why in heaven there's always continual praise. Because even heaven itself cannot contain God's presence. So God has to create the atmosphere of praise and worship, that incense, that He could dwell in safely for us. And so, seeing that praise and worship is not so much for God as it is for us, so that God can come and live in our midst, was what we emphasized on the second message. And in the third message, we emphasize the three areas of God's glory. The glory that comes through the Word of God. When Moses obeyed the word, the glory of God came. The glory that comes to praise and worship, when the musicians were as one in 2 Chronicles 5, the glory of God came. And then the glory that comes to prayer, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Moses had prayed, fire came down and glory filled the earth once again, filled the temple once again, a third time. So the glory of God can come through obedience in the Word, and it can come to praise and worship, and it can come from a time of prayer in Him. And how sometimes we get God's presence, but we need all threefold God's presence. And they emphasize how sometimes a person is strong in prayer, but not in the Word. They still have a measure of glory, but only one third measure. And to have all the fullness, we need to be strong in the Word, strong in worship, and strong in prayer. Then we have the threefold measure of God's glory. And this morning we want to look at praise and worship in this message number 4. And we see the victory that we have in praise and worship. How praise and worship defeats the enemy. And is the highest form of weapon that we have against the enemy. So let's look first at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And I know that there are many weapons that we have against the enemy. Oh, thank you very much. And we have many weapons against the enemy. But of all the weapons, you know how, like even today in natural warfare, when one country fights with another, and we pray that there will be none, but as an illustration, when two armies fight, long ago it used to be swords, spears, and arrows. Today, it will be submachine guns and N16, AK-47. Then they have when they invent a weapon, they invent when they invent some sort of armor and defense, they invent a new weapon against it. So you have anti-tank missiles, you have landmines, which thank God is being eliminated out, such a cruel form of warfare. And then you have different types of bombs. You have guided missiles, guided bombs, and then you have cluster bombs that explode in the air and spread out even wider and kill and maim many people. And of all the weapons that we have, yet we humans know of the worst that we humans have invented is atomic weapons. And when they invent the atomic bomb, they thought that was it. But then later, from the atomic bomb, they invented the fusion bomb, which is the hydrogen bomb. And it gets worse and worse. And so we know that there are different degrees of weapons. And as much as possible, we know like nations like America has declared war several times. We have the Gulf War and several wars in our lifetime. And during the Gulf War, they never used the atomic bomb. Right? They could have just press a button and that's it. The whole Baghdad would have been gone. Right? But those weapons are what we call the weapons of last resort. Now, in the kingdom of God, we do have weapons too. We do have weapons which we warfare with. Paul did say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And it's been put in the song. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. For they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, they are mighty. Yes, they are mighty. They are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through the Holy Ghost. So the weapons of warfare are mighty. And we do know we have weapons. And there are different types of weapons. But when it comes to the devil and all his cohorts, we need to know our atomic weapons. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you do need it. And in fact, there's a difference between fighting a natural war and a spiritual war. As much as possible, we should use our highest weapons. God did not say, don't use atomic weapons against the devil. But instead, God encourages us to learn to use the weapons as we learn them. Different from the natural world, in the natural world, they have availability in using all those weapons. Only in the spiritual world, unless we live a life of praise and worship, that praise and worship cannot arise in our lives as a weapon. And so in the spiritual world, it's slightly different. God would have us use the most powerful weapons we can. Which is why one of the visions that God gave for Australia here is that we would be able to build 24-hour praise and worship first in Canberra and then in every state among the seven states in Australia. And we would have a canopy of praise and worship to God. Imagine a pillar of cloud of praise and worship going to God from the capital city and from every state capital. And you can imagine the canopy that will cover Australia. And you could imagine what kind of atmosphere it would create for God to move. The revival that we all long for. And part of what I believe in the revival of the last days, every Christian everywhere knows that there will be a final revival when the church will be perfected. Every one of us know in our spirits. Every church, every denomination know that Jesus will perfect His church. But one of the keys that God is showing how He will perfect the church is that He must first have, remember, His presence can only come when there's enough praise and worship. And one of the keys to God perfecting the church is first to create that atmosphere for Him to work. And that atmosphere is created in praise and worship. You notice that in the past, that has always been so. You think about the revivals that come in the time of John Wesley. There's a lot of prayer going on. But you also think about a lot of the hymns that were composed in that time. So always your prayer, praise, and the word happening in every move of God. Well, if you are turning to the book of Psalms and haven't got there, let's continue going to the book of Psalms. 149. Psalms 149. And praise and worship is like our most powerful weapon that we can use. And if we learn how to use it all the time, literally, you would have a presence of God surround you like a cloud, and it's impenetrable to the enemy, to the devil. He can't even come near you because of the praise and worship that surrounds your life. In Psalms 149, it says, verse 5, 6, and 5 and 6, and 7 and 8 and 9. Yeah, all of it. Verse 5 onwards. Psalms 149. And let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. And the two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all the saints, all his saints. Now notice all the things that take place in verse 7, 8 and 9. There is the two-edged sword in our hand. And the two-edged sword in the New Testament represent the Word of God. You see, praise and worship makes the Word of God effective. And when the high praises of God are in our mouth, there is a two-edged sword in our hand. There is the ability to execute His authority over nations. And bind their kings with chains. This is not talking about early kings, but talking about the kings that rule this earth, the demonic forces, the prince of Persia, the prince and the principalities and powers over all the dark areas on this earth, over cities or over nations. When the high praises of God are released on our lips, something takes place. So praise and worship is like our nuclear weapon in the spirit world. When we could enter into that realm of praise and worship. And if we will let it continue in our lives, it will be powerful. Now, God knows that, and the day that we were born again, and this nuclear weapon, as I say, the high praises of God, was only in the Old Testament in type. Never fully available for them. Say, why? Because we humans are incapable of pure praise and worship to God. God Himself has to come down and dwell in us to bring the purity of the praise and worship to Himself. And in the Old Testament, it was only in type to the physical animals that were slain, the blood of the lamb, all these were in type. And they do have many experiences of praise and worship, but it's nothing compared to what God reserved for our time. And so the first point that we bring forth to you, we establish, first of all, that praise and worship, there is victory in praise and worship. And praise and worship is our nuclear weapon in the spirit world. And we establish the first point that it is reserved for the New Testament to bring that forth. Because in the old, it was not possible, for they were not born again. And so the day we were born again, God put into our hearts the Spirit. And the Spirit of God in our hearts in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19, it tells us, be filled with the Spirit. And psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now have you noticed that the moment we are filled with the Spirit, God gives to us a new song. He makes melody in our heart. That's found in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19. Let's just jump and cross reference to that. the tremendous force that God has reserved for us. You see, it is not we praising God, but it's the Holy Spirit helping us to praise God, that we can reach as highest. That is why it's called the high praises of God. It's not our own. It's from on high. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will for us to be His instruments of praise and worship. And God desires to perfect that praise and worship in our life the day we were born again. It doesn't matter whether we are good in singing or not good in singing, but the Bible says for every Christian, the moment you're filled with the Spirit, in Ephesians 5 verse 18, the moment you're filled with the Spirit, there is a song in your heart. There is a melody in your heart. And as long as the melody flows out through your life, there is an energy released on this earth that the devil cannot match. It is born of the Spirit, and it is an energy force in the spirit world. To understand a little bit, let's illustrate with the natural. Of why is it that nuclear weapons are the most powerful? Because all the normal bombs that are invented so far, whether it be dynamite, TNT, and all the different weapons and chemicals and TNT, trinitrotoluene, whatever it was, and all these things that they have invented, all these are only what I call explosive substances. They are chemical weapons. And the reason they explode is because they burn very fast. The speed which they burn is so fast and the heat generator is so great that the gas expands. And because it's so fast, the expansion is in a split second, and to us, we hear it as an explosion. Of course, if you contain it in something, it will break whatever its container is. So that is what we classify to be a bomb. A bomb is in fast motion what the boiling of a kettle is in slow motion. When they accelerate the expansion of the gases, the chemical reaction takes place on the gases, and split seconds, that creates a bomb. And of all the inventions of man, that's all that is, chemical reaction. It was just mere chemical reaction. But the day they invented the nuclear bomb, it was not a chemical reaction. They actually took the atom and they split the atom. It's no chemical reaction. It is unleashing the power that binds all the molecules and atoms. It's the energy that creates matter. Is the energy force that holds the atoms, the molecules, the protons and the neutrons together. And when they split the atom, they found a way to split the atom. First of all, they had to find the element. It took a long time to reduce it to uranium-235 and later plutonium, 239. But when they found the element and they found they could split it, literally what happens is when they split it, the uranium and plutonium became other elements. So literally they split the atom and release the energy that is in the atoms. That is why it's a different type of energy. It is the energy that is in everything, except it's very hard to split the atoms of other elements like carbon or oxygen. And the reason they found it easy to split the atoms of the radioactive matter is because these are what I call heavy elements. Like hydrogen is element number one. It has only one neutron and one proton. But uranium is is 235. That number stands for how many protons it has inside and neutrons it has. It's a heavy metal. So because it's already heavy, it's easier to hit. And without going further into that, what we are saying is that it releases the energy force in matter. And when they discovered, and the first bomb is called a fission bomb, it splits the atom. Then they said, if we can split the atom, we can also join two atoms together. Which they did in the hydrogen bomb. They took heavy hydrogen. Most hydrogen doesn't have a neutron, but heavy hydrogen have more neutrons inside. And they join the hydrogen atoms together. And the reason why they cannot do it earlier is because it needs the energy produced by the fission to do it. So when in a hydrogen bomb, what they have is they split the atom that produce the energy, which is really terrible, and they put around it another layer of hydrogen, and the energy release is so great that it, quote-unquote, melt the atoms in the hydrogen and bring them together to form helium, a new element. So when they split and they fuse, and when the atoms join together, it releases the same energy as the sun. The sun is a big fusion bomb. And so when that happened, the energy force was released. And that's why the hydrogen bomb is even more powerful than the uranium bomb. So much energy. And these are not energy that is chemical. These are energy forces in the universe that holds the atoms and the molecules together. And what we are looking at in praise and worship is that this praise and worship that God has in store for the New Testament church. Remember, he always says there's something better in the New Testament. And the reason why we share this topic is because it would be foolish to live in a nuclear age and use only bows and arrows. Wouldn't it be foolish? Right? Imagine America going to the Gulf War and Saddam Hussein has all his guns, his tanks, and his Scud missile. And then you let loose a whole group of Marines. And the Marines all dressed like Robin Hood, men in tights. And all they have is these arrows. And they go, oh. They will all be massacred. But yet, the New Testament church, sometimes in a time when Jesus has revealed the New Testament, we live like the Old Testament, still using swords and spears and arrows. And every principle we discover is already present in the Old. But we never discover what God reserved for the New Testament church. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, it's like the church has moved into the spiritual nuclear age of energy. Because Jesus, don't tell me that Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying on the cross, shedding His blood, and paying the price for us, and crying out, it is finished, that what we receive is not better than the old or equal. Healing, it's in the Old Testament. It's still in the New. Nominal praise and worship, it's in the Old, it's in the New. Prophecy, it's in the Old, it's in the New. Faith, is in the Old, it's in the New. Then what difference do we have from them? They know God, we know God. There's one difference. They do not have the spiritual nuclear energy of praise and worship that is reserved only when our spirits are born again. And the day our spirits are born again, God put into our spirit a new spirit. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And God put into the church a new song.
Have you noticed new songs always move with new dispensation?
Remember in the book of Revelation, when it's a Jewish dispensation, they sing the song of Moses, and there's a song that the 144 sang that no one else could sing. That's for them. But we in the church age have a song, a spiritual song on our inside, implanted by God Himself the day we were born again. And we don't feel it that much until we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to hear the song. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And those melodies and those songs are not born of our flesh. They are not born of our soul. They are the atomic energy release because it is God Himself who is the source. And that verse that we quoted last week, like we look again at the book of Hebrews to confirm that. The book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, looking at verse 10 to verse 12, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 to verse 12, for it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Now, we have stated in verse 12, you look carefully, He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified is referring to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then in verse 12, the word I doesn't refer to us. The word I refers to Jesus, and the word your, the pronoun your, refers to God the Father. So it is Jesus who says, I will declare your name, that is the Father's name, to my brethren. Now the word my brethren refers to us. We are Jesus' brethren, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We are His brethren. So Jesus is saying this statement in verse 12. Now look very carefully at the statement. He says, I will declare your name to my brethren. That's understandable. But look at the second part of that sentence. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Now who is singing the praise? Jesus. Look at it. Jesus sings through us to Him. And that's why we are talking about the power of the universe in the spiritual realm. It is God releasing the power of praise and worship. It's like releasing the energy force that binds atoms and molecules. Because it is already in existence in God. It's not something that you and I create. He's not just talking about composing a new song or singing a new song. There will always be new songs that God gives to us. New songs, new psalms, new hymns that God gives because God keeps giving new melodies. And we've got new ways of expressing our worship to God. But deep in our heart of hearts, deep within our spirit, where spirit crieth unto spirit, where deep calleth unto deep, within us, it is Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, who gives the songs, the hymns, and the spiritual songs that is released through us unto God.